Okay, welcome everyone. So first of all, I want to thank Henry and Mindy Orlinsky, is that how you pronounce it? Sorry, for sponsoring today's shiur. Le'ilu Nishmas Mindy's mother, Meira Bas Zohar Zal, whose yahrzeit site is or was Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Also, I should point out, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's yahrzeit site was yesterday Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So if he comes up a lot, it's because it's on my mind. Okay. Want to talk about is tons of mitzvahs in Kedoshim. You wish you could bank some of them so that on quieter weeks you could go back to Kedoshim. But the mitzvah I want to focus on, I think, is fascinating. Maybe we did it many, many years ago, but certainly not recently. And that's the mitzvah or the lo saseh of lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Okay, and if we start at the beginning, the pasuk says, "Oh, why don't we just pull up the pasuk and start there? Share a screen. Oh, wrong place. Sorry. Gotta go back. How do I get out of this? Stop share. Okay, try again. Something I messed up. All right, let's work off this document. So let's start at the very beginning. Lo tikalel chereish. There's three clauses in the pasuk. Lo tikalel chereish. Second clause, vilifnei iver lo titein michshol. Third clause, v'yareisam elokecha ani Hashem. It's possible to argue, and there's a number of psukim that are like this in the parsha, that every clause is independent. But I think it's wrong. I actually heard a shiur from Rav Meidan this morning on it. He thinks it's wrong also. He thinks they're connected. So if they're connected, somebody translate the pasuk. Lo tikalel chereish. It's simple. Go ahead. Anybody?
Don't curse a deaf person.
Good. Second, v'lifnei iver lo titein michshol.
Before a blind person, don't put a stumbling block.
V'yareitam elokecha ani Hashem.
Fear God, fear
This.
your God, and I am God.
Okay, something like that. Now, if you just you keep looking at the pasuk, so what does it mean? So lo tikalel chereish and v'lifnei ver lo titein michshol, there's obviously some kind of parallel idea there. When you curse a deaf person, he doesn't hear you. When you place a stumbling block in front of a blind person, he doesn't see you do it. Right? So, you could claim that the theme of the pasuk is, it's easy to don't do things that are easy to get away with. Right? I can't tell you for sure, but something like that speaks to me. Okay? But it's interesting. That's not how Chazal understood. Someone wanted to say something? No? Okay.
But no, just because you think someone doesn't see it, like frame, don't think it's about someone seeing it. In other words, it's about behavior, not about the recipient seeing it.
Well, obviously, that's where v'yareitam elokecha ani Hashem will come in. Right? So I think you're 1,000% right. I just don't want to give it away yet. Okay, so that's the pasuk. Now, you look in the Sifra, that's not how Chazal understood it. And just, to go back, there are two midrashim on two types of midrashim on Chamisha Chumshei Torah. One is, what we think of as a Medrash, right? Medrash Agada, which is mostly Medrash Rabbah. It's also Tanhuma. They're all a bunch of Medrashim. And then there's Midrashei Halacha, right? The Sifra, otherwise known as Torat Kohanim, is Midrashei Halacha. They're incredibly boring to read. Like, you could pick up Midrash Rabbah and read through it, and it would be interesting. It doesn't read like a novel, but each medrash is kind of interesting. But midrashei halacha are drashos. They're literally right. We would think of them not as medrashim, as drashos. Just to start with the Rav Lichtenstein theme, because I just heard the story yesterday. He was once in the Rav Shir, and the Rav asked him a question about a midrash halacha, and he didn't know, and he was embarrassed that he didn't know, and he thought he should have known. And so he went home and he read Kiseder. He memorized all the midrash halacha. So because he thought, if you're going to be a Talmud Chacham and your Rebbe is going to ask you a question on midrash halacha, you should know it. Okay, that's just an impressive story about Rav Lichtenstein. Let's look at this Sifra together. This Sifra says, V'lifnei iver lo titein michshol, lifnei suma bedavar. Right? Says the Sifra, it doesn't literally mean a blind person. It means a person who is suma bedavar, who doesn't know.
Ignorant.
Now, I put in the number one. Bava amar lecha, because I think there are two approaches in the Sifra. Bava amar lecha, bas ish ploni mahi lekahuna. A person comes and says, I met this beautiful girl. I'm a Kohen. She's a divorcee. Can I marry her? Al tomar lo kishera v'hi ein ala psula. Don't give him the wrong advice. But I don't think this is limited to advice. I think here the focus is on what? What's the focus on? It's halacha. Right? A person comes to ask you the halacha, don't tell him something other than the actual halacha. And why is this here? Because he's a suma bedavar. He's an amharetz. He doesn't know the halacha. Can a kohen marry a divorcee? So the answer is you have to tell him yes. And if you don't, that's an iser d'oraisa. Huh? You have to tell him no.
No.
I'm sorry. You have to tell him no. And if you don't, that's you're over the iser d'oraisa of v'lifnei iver lo titein michshol.
It
That's
also
one
relates,
example.
If I can interrupt, it also relates to another pasuk in this sedra that says that you're supposed to rebuke your neighbor from, or your brother, or whatever, your fellow, from doing averus.
You're right. You could argue that to give a person wrong halachic advice is a violation of hochiach tochiach adamitecha. It would be a good argument. But the Sifra doesn't say that. The Sifra says, if somebody asks you, is this kosher, is this treif, you're supposed to tell him the answer. You're supposed to tell him the truth.
Or if he's about to enter a relationship with her, it seems to be, or maybe I'm wrong, but you're supposed to tell him, even if he doesn't ask you, not to do so.
Yes. Okay, but that's a different halacha. You're 1,000% right. So one example is, again, he asks you for halachic advice. You're supposed to tell him what the halacha is. And if you don't, it's lifnei iver. Number two.
But Ellie, lifnei iver is switching from, again, being on the person's behavior, the actor, to a third party's behavior. Meaning lifnei iver is the way the pasuk's describing is doing something to someone where they're not aware of it, that they can get hurt, and you thinking that you can do it. Halachic seems to be totally different.
But halacha. We're reading the Sifra together.
No, I'm saying, but Lenny's point, fits more.
Lenny's is a bigger point. He's saying even if it was no Isser D'Oraisa of Lifnei Iver, it would still be wrong. Lenny's right about that, but there happens to be an Isser D'Oraisa of Lifnei Iver. Now, the second example in Sifra, it's not halacha. He asks you for advice. Al titein lo eitza she'eino hogenet lo. Don't give him bad advice. Al tomar lo tzei b'hashkama she'ikpechu listim. Don't tell him, oh, it's a really good time to leave at 4 in the morning. He's going to be robbed. Or tzei b'tzarayim b'shvil she'ish tarbev, right? Or leave in the afternoon, but it's really hot in the afternoon. Al tomar lo mechoret sadecha v'kach lecha chamor. Don't tell him, oh, it's a great deal. Sell your field and take in return a donkey. Va'at okef alav v'notla mimenu. When in fact, you want to buy his field. It's bad advice, right? He asks you, what do you think of Tesla? And you say to him, this guy, Elon Musk, he seems like a really solid guy, very level-headed. I think it's a great investment. Now, you happen to know that Elon Musk is a nut and that all of Tesla is based on rebates from the government and it's a horrible investment. So don't tell him that. Don't give him the wrong advice. Shema Tomar, you might say, Eitza Tovani Noteng Lo. You don't know the difference. I think Tesla is a great investment. Vaharei HaDavar Masur Lelev, and no court could ever prove otherwise because it's my word against other people's words. Says the Medrash, Shenemar, no, Viyarei Sama Elokecha Ani Hashem. The Pasuk ends with a klal, and every place that these words appear in the Torah, we say the same thing. Viyarei Tama Elokecha Ani Hashem. You think you can get away with it? You think no one will ever uncover your motivation? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will uncover your motivation, and therefore, don't do it.
Eli, isn't this a redundancy to the laws of Walter Shaker that you should not lie? I mean, when you're given all these negative advices, it's a Shaker, and you already have the laws of Walter Shaker.
So first of all, I don't know what the lav is of lo tishaker. That's a lo tase? Are you quoting? Yeah. Is that like exactly?
Yeah. Did say non-truth.
Maybe we'll have to expand. Let's work on it. So right now, we basically have three pshatim in the pasuk. There's the simple pshat in the pasuk, which you can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. And then Chazal have two, maybe three, but probably two drushos. One is you can't give him bad halachic advice. And second, you can't give him bad advice when you're trying to take advantage of him. It has nothing to do with halacha. You can't be, a bad person to him. And as everybody's pointed out, you can expand this to other mitzvot. So you can claim that there are other mitzvot that also cover this. I don't think that's so unusual. I really don't. I think when the Torah is worried about a certain type of behavior, it often covers certain types of behavior with more than one lo tase. Let's look at the Rambam. Source number three. V'hamitzvah ha-reish tzadites hishehizhiranu mehachshil kitzatenu et kitzatenu be'etza. Says the Rambam, the Isser d'oraisa is to be machshil, to trick a person with a bad advice. Now, what's kitzatenu at kitzatenu? Anybody know? Oh, come on. Nobody knows? Kitzatenu at kitzatenu is how the Rambam says when he means Jews. Us. A Jew can't be machshil another Jew be'etza ra'a. Okay, that's just an interesting. We'll come back to that, but that's the Shitas HaRambam. V'hu she'im yishalcha adam eitza b'davar. If a person comes to you, guys in shul, he's sitting next to you. He asks you advice. Hu niftebo uba'aha azhara miliramot umilahachshil. You can't give him bad advice. Aval tiyashreyu el adavar she'tachshov shu tov v'yashar. Right, you want to be a good person. Says the Rambam, when a person asks you for advice, think about it, take a step back, and answer honestly. That's the Isser D'oraisa of Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol, V'Lashon Sifra, Lifnei Suma B'Davar. Right? It doesn't literally mean a blind person. It means a person who's Suma B'Davar. I don't know anything about the stock market. I don't know anything about hiring work. I don't know anything. I'm asking you your advice. I'm going to rely on you. Okay. That's the Shita Saramba. Okay. Says the Sefer HaChinuch.
What's the halacha under when someone says something's asur deraisa and it's derabanan? What category would that be?
I think the Rambam would tell you that's Baal Tosef. That's an Issa d'Oraisa of Baal Tosef. The Rambam's famous example for Baal Tosef is you tell somebody it's an Issa Torah to eat chicken with milk. The answer is it's not an Issa Torah, says the Rambam. It's an Issa d'Rabbanan. Now, again, the Rambam kept Issurei d'Rabbanan. The Rambam thought it was Usser to eat chicken with milk. But he thought it was Usser for you. You're a Rebbe. and you think to yourself, I'm going to scare my guys. I'm going to tell them it's just as bad to eat chicken with milk as it is to eat steak with milk. Says Rambam, it's not. So that's an Isser Doraisa of Baal Tosef.
So why wouldn't it fall under this category more than that?
I'll tell you why. Because in this category, at least for now, Doraisas and Rabbanans are the same. If somebody asks you if something is mutter, and you say yes, when in fact it's only an Isser Dirabanan, that's the same Isser. Right? You're not allowed to give him the wrong halacha. You're not allowed to give him the wrong advice. Okay? I think it's the same thing. Source number four. Says the Sefer HaChinuch on this mitzvah, V'noheges b'chol makom u'v'chol zman b'zicharim u'nekevot. Okay, obviously it's a lotase. It applies to everybody. Va'over Allah v'hisi et chaveiro l'da'at eitza she'ena hogenet lo. But let's say you do it anyway and you give the guy improper advice. Osiea oto bidvar aveira. He has both of the drashos. Or you helped him commit an isser. You gave him non-kosher food. Kigon hamoshit kos yain l'nazir. There's a nazir. It's an isser. It's also for him to drink wine. He says to you, please pass me the wine. If you pass him the wine, that is a form of, says the Sefer HaChinuch, lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Okay, v'chol ki yotzu b'zeh, avar alav zeh, v'hu ke'over al mitzvat melech. Which I read to say, and I want to be careful, it's as if you drank, yeah, it's as if you're a nazir and you drank wine. It's as if you married a grusha and you're a kohen. It's as if you did the isavu kover al mitzvat melech, but ve'ein lo kina lav lifi she'ein bo maisa. Right? You could be over this isser by just giving the guy advice, by just talking without doing an action. So therefore, you're not chay of, you don't get makos. You obviously are over an isser, but you don't get makos.
Ellie? Okay?
Yes.
Couldn't it be that the nazir asked you to pass him a cup and he didn't know it was wine? We just finished in Mishnah Yomis Nazir, and there so are if you're asking, in can, there where they discuss
if you're
that.
Asking, can you be over lifnei iver bishogeg, meaning you didn't know, forget the nazir, you didn't know that you were passing him wine.
No, so you knew. You knew. That's the michshol.
That's the Isser Doraisa. Who cares
that's
if he knows?
That's what I'm saying, but that's what it could be here. Kagon hamashit kos yayin lenazir.
Okay, it doesn't matter whether he knows or doesn't know. If you pass him a cup of wine, you're over the Isser. Now,
but that's more in the spirit of Lefnei Iver, because he's an Iver in this. In other words, if the Nazir asked you to pass him wine, he knows it's wine. Here, the Nazir asked
so you're
you to
right.
Pass
so here, we have to distinguish between two things. The Gemara talks about there's a thing called Shtei Ibrei Dinahara, two sides of the river, and one side of the river. And the Gemara has a machlokes. If you're sitting at a table and the Nazir asks you, you know, to pass him wine, okay? So if you don't do it, somebody else will. Right? He can just reach across you. He's trying to be, you know, act with man. He could just reach across you and take the wine. That's different, says the Gemara. Then if he's on one side of the river, the only way he can have wine is if you throw him the bottle. He doesn't have access to it. Okay, so this is a machlokas in the Gemara. But according to almost everybody, even if you're at the table and he could reach it anyway, so if it's not lifnei iver, it's what we call misayeli de ovre avera. He wants to commit an avera and you help him, that's also bad. It's only an issur drabanan. But that's also bad. We're not supposed to help people commit averos. Okay? Good. Now, let's go to the Minchas Chinuch, who's going to ask a really, really important question. Source number five. Says the Minchas Chinuch, V'hine, midivrei harava mechaber, v'chein midivrei harambam, nira de posuk hazet de lifnei iver, yotza legamrei mipshuto. The Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch don't say anything about putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. They just give you the drashos from the Sifra. De'im natan michshol mamush, even lifnei iver, eina over. Right? How could that be? The pasuk says lifnei iver lo titein michshol. You look in the Ram, you look in the Sefer Achinuch, it's not usher to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. How could that be? Eina over, kin nireh midivri harab b'tchilat dvarav. V'cheni ma shekotav she'ein bo maisa. V'im ze gam kei nichla b'lav havi'esh bo maisa. There is an act involved in putting a stone, in putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. And says the Minchas Chinuch, and it's a really like an important question. Mikamakom lo yadati kevon de mevuar biyavamos de chalat Torah kula ein mikra yodei midei pshuto. Says the Minchas Chinuch, what's going on here? There are these drashos, and it's great, and they're lovely drashos. But how could it be that the pasuk doesn't mean what it says? Right. Like in Parshanot, that's a really, really important question for all of us. Okay, I understand that the drasha is a suma bedavar, but isn't a pshuto shel mikra an actual blind person? Okay, so this is a famous question, and it's something that we should deal with, and it's something that I have a suggestion about. And my suggestion is based on Rashi.
Why is that relevant? We have Ayin Tachat Ayin, we have Chain Tachat Chain. We constantly, the Torah is using examples.
No, be careful, not constantly. There is another example called Ayin Tachat Ayin, and that too has a question, right? Doesn't the Pasuk say? But to say that we always Darshan Psukim Shalo Kipshutan is wrong. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is the Halacha. Now, the Sifra is allowed to come on top of the Pshuto Shel Mikra and say, it also means X, it also means Y, it also means Z. But the Sifra is not allowed to come and say, it doesn't mean the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Now, you could say the Sifra doesn't say that, but his question is a good question. When you look in the Rambam and you look in the Sefer Achinuch, there's no mention of blind people. There's just mention of a Suma B'davar, and that is a strong question. And so therefore, I'm going to answer it even if you don't like the question. Look at source number 6. Here's Rashi on the pasuk. V'yareisim elokecha. Says Rashi, l'fi shahadavar hazeh eino masur libriot leida'im da'ato shalzeh l'tova o lira'a. He says the fact of the matter is, it's not clear to the briot whether you meant it for poor or for good. I thought it was a good investment. I thought he should really sell me his field. I wasn't trying to scam him at all. You have to fear God because you're right. You could claim whatever you want to claim, and only God knows. Kol davar hamasur lilibo shel adam ha'usehu ve'ein shar habriot makirot bo. Anything that you could claim otherwise and people couldn't argue with you, ne'emar bo v'yareta me'elokecha. Now, that's clearly pshat in the pasuk. But here's the bigger point. I think what Rashi's saying is, the aretim elokecha means I have to mistranslate. I have to understand the pasuk otherwise. Every time it says the aretim elokecha, it means it's a davar hamasur lalev. And Rashi's saying, or we would say, I think, the answer to the Minchas Chinuch's question is, it is pshuto shel mikra. If you put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, you can't deny it. That's an act. What's v'yareta me'elokecha about that? So the Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch are saying, pshuto shel mikra, when the pasuk says v'yareta me'elokecha, it means a davar ha-masur lalev, and putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person is not a davar ha-masur lalev. It's something that everybody could see. Therefore, that's not part of the Isser. And the pshuto shel mikra becomes a suma bidavar, not literally blind, but figuratively blind. He's an amaretz. He doesn't know the halacha. What do we think? All right, not a
so far so good.
Could you
that's the whole
that?
Thing,
yeah,
Jackie. That's
not,
the whole thing. All I'm saying is that the chiddush here is when the Torah says V'yareisim Elokecha, the pshuto shel mikra has to work with that V'yareisim Elokecha. So if you go back to the pasuk, right, lo tekalel chereish also has a drasha that's other than a literally a you know a deaf person. It means a suma b'davar. How do I know that? Because it says v'yareitam elokecha ani Hashem, and we have said every single time it says v'yareitam elokecha on a pasuk, it means that the iser is a davar hamasur lelev. Okay, I like that very much. It's fine that people don't. I'll cry later. Okay, let's go on. How does the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka explain this iser? So source number 7 says the Rambam Hilchos Rotzeach Shmiras HaNefesh Perek Yud Ben Halacha Yud Dalet Kol She Asur Limkar LeGoy Asur Limkar LeYisrael Shehu Listim. Okay, you can't, you know, if you can't sell it to a guy, you can't sell it to a Jew who's a thief. Mipnei Shenimtza Mechazek Yidei Ovrei Aveira Umachshilo. The Rambam adds some additional verbiage here. It's not just, you know, being machshel an iver. It's not just lifnei iver. You're also mechazek yidei over avera. You're not supposed to help people break the rules. V'chein, similarly, kol hamachshil iver bidavar v'hisio eitza she'ena hogenet. Right, anybody who intentionally gives bad advice to a person who asks him advice. So there are two parts of it, right? You're either helping somebody commit an aveira, or you're giving him bad advice. And the person is, maybe here Debbie has a point. The Rambam says that the person himself has to not know. Otherwise, it's not lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Again, it could be 100 other isurim, but it can't be that. Now, why doesn't he know? So here's why it's a little unclear. Mipnei ta'avat libo. Right? Sometimes we want something so badly, we rationalize it. The Nazir knows that this is wine, but he wants wine so badly, you know, they ask you to pass it to him anyway, and he'll figure out later on why he did it. Hareza over belota se shenema v'lifnei ver lo titein michshol. What does that mean? Haba lito mimcha eitza. Tain lo eitza hahogenet lo. A person who comes to ask you for advice, you have to give him appropriate advice for the question. Okay, one more source. It's a strange source. The number of weird sources in the Gemara for Lifne Iver. Well, we have two more. Look at source number 8. First of all, Vitanya. Rabbi Nassan Omer. Minayin shelo yoshit adam kos yain lenazir. How do you know? What are the two examples? You can't pass a nazir, a glass of wine, and you can't pass Aver Minachai, you know, a bone that was ripped off a live animal. That's also an Isser for Bnei Noach. You can't pass it to a guy. Tamud Lomar v'lifnei ver lo titein michshol. Hey, now, ask the Minchas Chinuch, what's the Rambam talking about when the Rambam says that the Isser is limited to Jews? Look at the Gemara. Look at the word I bolded. One of the specific examples the Gemara gives is Aver Minachai Livnei Noach. Right? You're not allowed to pass a bone from a live animal to a Bnei Noach, to a Ben Noach. That's a Gentile. So what's the Rambam I'm talking about? Okay, so here you get to another Chakira. And here you get to the question of,
So it goes back. It's on the person's behavior, separate than the maisa itself, and it goes back to the end of the pasuk.
I don't know what that means. Yeah.
Meaning the pasuk that we started out with is because Ani Hashem. So it's the person's behavior before Kadosh Baruch Hu that everything is roi to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not.
Okay, so you may be touching on the point I want to make, but you're only touching on it. Here you get to a chakir. If I asked you, into what category would you put the Isur D'oraisa of Vilifnei Iver Lo Titein Michshol? Is it a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro or is it a Bein Adam L'Makom?
So I would say it has that duality.
Okay, so Rav Asher Weiss agrees with you that there are two separate things going on here, right? There's building a Jewish society that we want to live in, of good people and good neighbors and people who trust each other. That's the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro part. But then is the fact that God said so. And God said so, you know, under all circumstances and under all situations. And even if, you know, it doesn't have any Bein Adam L'Chaveiro implications, it would still be usur because God said so. And so therefore he thinks maybe the Rambam meant only on the Bein Adam L'Chaveiro plane, that it deals only with Jews. But there's also the plane of Bein Adam L'Makom. It, you know, philosophically, it makes a lot of sense. Does it answer the question from the Gemara? I'm not 100% sure. But that's what Rav Asher says. Now, go to 9, a strange case. The Gemara in Moed Katan, Yitzayin Amar Alf says, D'tanya, V'lifnei iver lo titei michshol, b'makeh livno gadol ha-katuv medaber. What's an example of lifnei iver? If you slap or you hit your grown son. Okay, now what a grown son means, I don't know exactly. You know, maybe it's 8 years old, maybe it's 18 years old, maybe it's more than bar mitzvah, I don't know. But you can now, what's the problem? So it says Rashi, de ka'ava mishum v'lifnei iver lo titei michshol, de kevan de gadol hu. Right, your son is a gadol. Shema miva'et ba'aviv. He's going to hit you back. V'hava le'ihu machshilo. And you have now caused him to commit a terrible avera of hitting his father. Now, there's a number of things to notice here. First of all, what if he doesn't? You do something wrong, right? But your son is a grown-up. You raised him well. You hit him. He doesn't hit you back. This goes to the question of whether there is such a thing called attempted lifnei iver. Right? What's the iser? Is it that I did something that could be machshil somebody else? Or is it only usur when the person actually does it? Right? So that's a big discussion in the Achronim, and this is the example. The example is, I hit my son. I shouldn't have done it. But what's the problem? What's the problem with hitting your son? The problem is he might hit you back. So if the iser is, even if he doesn't, let's say I pass a kos shel yayin to a nazir, but he doesn't drink it, right? Am I over the iser? So that's a fundamental question in how you understand lifnei iver. If it's the fact that I tried to be machshel him, I had in mind to be machshel him, okay, so it should be usur whether or not I was successful. Now, this might be a good time to point out, there's very little attempted blank in halacha, right? There's no attempted murder. If you shoot a guy and you miss, you're not a rotzeach, right? If you break into a house, but it turns out it's your own house, so you're not a ganav, you're not a gazlan. There are examples where, you know, like tmura and things like that, there the iser really does apply, and attempted hamara of a karban works to be the issue.
Usually thoughts are not, except if you have the wrong intentions when you bring a karban, I think.
Okay, so to some extent, but this isn't a thought, right? Here you did it. It just turns out that it didn't pan out the way you thought it was going to pan out. Right? Okay, that's a big, big question.
It's intention.
What? No?
It's intention.
It depends. If you're over lifnei iver, whether the person did it or not, you're right. Then it would be intention. If you're not over, unless he did it, and here we come to what I think is the most fundamental chakira, and it's related to the others, and that is, what exactly is the iser of lifnei iver lo titein michshol? Examples, right? A person asks me to buy him a ham sandwich. And I do it. And he eats the ham sandwich. What's the prohibition? Is every isser of lifnei iver a sniff to the isser that I did? Meaning, when I give this guy a ham sandwich, it's like I'm eating machalos asuros. Right? Or is it, no, it's unrelated to the actual isser. Lifnei iver is a standalone isser, you know, of I caused him to do X. The X doesn't matter. You understand? The X doesn't matter at all. Whatever I did, I'm responsible for that. That's a really, really big question that Achronim deal with, and I don't know how we paskin. But the idea of, well, if I passed him something, if I gave him machalos asuros, it's as if I ate machalos asuros, right? Then there'd be a big difference between Doraisas and Drabanans, right? And there'd be big, you know, even a bigger difference between, you know, I don't know, the big three, let's say.
But
there's
two types of mitzvos. There are mitzvos that are maisa mitzvos, and then mitzvos that are one of intent. You know, lulav, all the intent in the world, if you don't shake it, you don't have it, they're not kosher, you're not becoming a mitzvah. There's mitzvahs of Eidim Zomim, that your intent is greater than it's not the maisa. So we have to categorize both the mitzvos. I mean, there's that general thing, doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, and mitzvahs that are categorized by maisa, thought, and action.
Okay.
So sometimes they can fall in multiple categories, and sometimes they don't. So, like, what is it, something that we distinguish, or it's just Chazal tells us, and that's accordingly?
It's not a Chazal thing. The question is the Isser Doraisa of Lifnei Iver. When I do it, what Isser am I getting? Here, let me make this very clear. This, I think I told this story many years ago, but it's a great Lifnei Iver story that happened to me. When I was in YU, so the only way to get back to Long Beach where I lived was to pass by the only kosher Dunkin' Donuts, which is still there, I believe, on Rockaway Turnpike. You had to literally drive past that store before they made all the shortcuts, right? So my minhag, it was so exciting for me. My minhag was to always stop and get the egg and cheese croissant. With tax, it was $1 in those days. And it was filling and it was beautiful and I eat it in the car. It was great, okay? Maisa shahaya kahaya. As usual, I order my egg and cheese croissant. While I'm waiting for them to make it, I notice that on top of the microwave that they make the eggs in, it says, anything cooked in this microwave is not under our hashkacha because of the Isser of Bishul Akum. Now, I didn't know enough to know at the time that that's silly and doesn't apply, it doesn't matter, and it's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. But okay, there's a sign saying it might not be kosher. So I'm a frum guy, so I don't want to eat the egg and cheese croissant if it doesn't have hashkacha. So I look around. There's a lady standing behind me. I say to her, listen, I ordered an egg and cheese croissant. I decided I don't want it. I promise you, there's nothing wrong with it. Do you want for free my egg and cheese croissant? So she's like, okay, great. So I give it to her. And I get in the car, and I think to myself, wait. Was I just over the Issa? Now, I assume she's Jewish. She's got the high hair, the whole thing. She's not covered her hair, but, you know. Was I just over an Issa Doraisa of Lifnei Iver to prevent myself from being over an Issa Drabanan of Bishul Akum? Right? That was really the question. Does it matter? Can I be over an Issa Doraisa, Henry, on an Issa Drabanan? That's the question. And the answer is, so first of all, the end of the story is another Rav Lichtenstein thing for his yard site. So I was once in a month or two later, I was driving him someplace. And I asked him this question. And he says to me, I asked that same exact question to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik when I was in YU. Now, I was so excited that I had asked the same question that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein had asked. I don't remember his answer. I'm embarrassed to say. I was like dancing in the car. I was like, well, I asked the same question. Yeah, I'm so great. You know, I don't remember the answer. But the answer is, it's a minchas chinuch. The answer is, it depends. If the Isser of Lifnei Iver becomes the iser that you suggested or that you committed. So then, you know, if I was machshel this woman in bishul akum, so it's a drabana. But if the prohibition of lifnei iver is a standalone prohibition, it doesn't matter what it's connected to. If it's a standalone prohibition, then maybe it's true. I was over in iser d'oraisa of lifnei iver, you know, to get out of some frum thing, to get out of the iser of bishul akum. Okay, hard to know.
Ellie.
But, yeah.
Does this at all connect with chote umachti?
Yeah, on some level. No, a chote umachti is a bad guy. You know, like it means I sin and I cause somebody else to sin. Obviously, if I cause somebody else to sin, you know, it involves the iser of lifnei iver. But I got much bigger problems if I'm a chote umachti. You know, it's just the overlap of ideas, but it's not, you know, it's something completely different.
Okay. Wouldn't the test case be if I thought it was something usher that I was giving him and it wasn't?
Nah, so that's the question I thought we asked that before, which is, could you be over lifnei iver bishogeg?
Right? Well, no,
I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't think it's bishogeg. I intentionally passed him a cup in which I thought there was wine. Turns out it was something else. Whatever.
Right, so that's the other point we mentioned, which is, can you be over attempted lifnei iver even if you were unsuccessful? And I, you know, it's the greatest topic ever because these things are discussed by Achronim. I don't know the answer. So, you know, unfortunately, I'm just here with questions today. But the biggest question, and we're going to end with these two tshuvas of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. The biggest question is, how do you define the lifnei iver? And you'll see what I mean in a second. Look in Shulchan Aruch in source number 10. Here's the Shulchan Aruch. Hamachil la'acherim ein tzarach n'tilas yadayim. If I'm feeding you, there's something wrong with you medically, and I feed you, I don't have to do n'tilas yadayim. The ha'ochel tzarach n'tilas yadayim, but the person who eats has to do n'tilas yadayim. Afal pi sha'acher notein l'toch piv, even though he never touches the food. Ve'ino nogeh b'machal. V'hu adin la'ochel b'magrefa. Magrefa is a fork. Shetzarich Netilas Yadayim. Okay, says the Shulchan Aruch, you need to make Netilas Yadayim before you eat. Va'asur la'achil l'misha lo natal yadav. Now, he says, it's usur to give bread, to feed somebody who didn't do Netilas Yadayim. Mishum lifnei iver lo titein mechshol. Okay, that's the halacha. Comes of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and we... You know, Rav Aaron loved Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He thought he was the most balanced, thoughtful, sincere person ever. And he's the person who Rav Aaron went to for all of his questions. Just for a quick story, another one that I heard yesterday. You know, Rav Aaron's youngest daughter at some point wanted to get earrings. And Rav Aaron thought you could not, it's usur to pierce your ears. There's a whole lumdus behind it, but he thought halacha lemaisa, it was usur to pierce your ears. So they compromised and they agreed they would go to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the two of them together. And whatever he said, you know, they'd be makabo. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach told Ravon's daughter, yeah, it's fine. You could pee. He said, I think the joke was he said, when boys turn 8 days old, they get a bris milah. When girls turn 8 days old, they get their ears pierced. But he was matirit. Okay, that, you know, that's the story. So now Rav Shlomo Zalman, listen to this case. Source number 11. Okay, first of all, a lot of the issues behind lifnei iver just have to do with you being frum and thinking before you act. Choshvani. So he says, I think the following. Now, this example could be anyone, but he has one specific example that someone asked him about, right? An important guest comes to your house. Asher einenu shomer Torah mitzvot. He doesn't keep halacha. Aval adayin yesh lo ahava livnei Torah. But he, you know, he has a soft spot for frum people. V'gam tomech b'mosto Torah chedomeh. He's a big donor to yeshivos. Ve'im habala bayis lo yitnaheg ito benimus hamikubal lechabed oto b'midi d'meichal omishte. Now, if you don't put out snacks for him, right, when someone comes to your house, that's what you do. You give him a drink, right? You give him a piece of cake. Now, let's say you don't do that. Biglal ze shemitzad hadin asur litein le'echol. It's a beferish siman and shulchan aruch. We just saw it together, right? You can't give a person something to eat if you know he's not going to make a bracha. So you're not going to do it. Biglal ze fourth line shemitzad hadin asur litein le'echol al lamishi odesh and otel yadavim varech. Ukimo kein im afilu bitzura mechubedet. Right, you're going to tell him, I know it's strange, but this is our minhag, and you can wash your hands. If you think he'll be offended, it's not going to make him from, right? It's going to distance him from Torah. V'gam yavoli dekas v'sina al kol ha'olchim b'derech ha'Torah. V'chahai gavna choshvani shenachon be'emet l'chabed oto ba'achila u'shtia. V'lo lachshosh klal le'isur shalifne iver lo titein michshol. It's unbelievable, you know, kula, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch says you can't give food to a person who's not going to make a bracha. But in this case, it's only going to lead to a terrible result. Mishum da'af she'ein omrim la'adam la'asod yisur zuta k'dei la'atzil achem yisurah d'rabah. Right? We don't say do a small isur to prevent a big isur. Va'asur vada, okay, I'll skip that. Mikal makom benidon zeh ha'il v'chol ha'isur shel ha'notein lo le'echol hu'rak avera shel netinat michshol. Okay, it's lifnei iver. V'kevan shim lo yiten lo le'echol. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, you think you're avoiding Lifnei Iver by not giving him food, but you're doing something much worse because you're driving him away from Torah Judaism. Nimsa deleka klal shum avera. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, you could give him food without worrying about it. Kevon deleka hacha shum nitinat michshol. Ela adraba yesh kan hat salam michshol gadol ma'od al yidei ze shehichlif oto bekumva ase bemichshol yoter katan. Says of Shlomo Zalman, what I think he's really saying is, the question you have to ask yourself is, what's the analysis? Am I just analyzing this act? If I give this guy a piece of cake and he doesn't make a mazonos, the Mechaber says, I was over in Isser Doreis of Lifnei Iver. But says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, if you don't give the guy a piece of cake, if you try to get him to make a bracha and you know it's going to offend him, right? You're driving him away from Torah true Judaism. It comes up all the time with guests on Shabbos and driving to you want to be Makarv people, but they're going to drive to your house. So what's the definition? You could avoid all of that by not having them. But then they'll never see a Shabbos meal, and there'll be zero chance that they'll become frum. If you're in Kiruv, so says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you have to look at the big picture. It's an unbelievable kula. It really is.
But there's a chila can help us define it. So one of the early examples you get, if a Kohen wants to marry a Grusha, that's the time when you say, no, you can't.
Oh, correct.
Okay, and here is a very famous tshuva where you say you this is the proper act to not say anything. So
right. that's why he's Rav Shlomo Zalman and we're not.
No. So, but can you analyze the differential? Meaning, one is something that is always going to be an act.
Yeah, so do this: some Haredi guy gets on the plane. He's got a big beard. He's a black, and everyone knows who he is. And he wants to make a girl move so she's not in the seat next to him. And it makes her cry and all these sad things. So, I don't know the answer, but I think you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Simply put, is it worth it? I'll tell you a funny story. I don't think it's true, but Haredim tell the story all the time. In the 50s, the most unbelievable thing happened. Ben Gurion, the prime minister of the state of Israel, went to the Chazon Ish's house to meet with him. There was a big fight about drafting girls at the time. Ben-Gurion was worried about the future of the state. He went to the house of the Chazon Ish. Okay, now, the only people sitting in the room were him, the Chazon Ish, and Chaim Navon, later who became president of Israel. So, but in the Haredi world, there's a million stories about this. So one of the silly stories, I think, is, well, the Chazon Ish thought to himself, if the prime minister of Israel comes to my house, I have to put out snacks. I have to put out water for him. I have to put out, you know, something for him to eat. That's what human beings do. But he's not going to make a bracha. He's, you know, he's David Ben-Gurion. He doesn't make brachos. So they tell the story that the Chazon Ish put out snacks at the far end of the table. So that, you know, if Ben-Gurion wanted to take a snack and not make a bracha, he would have to reach for it and it wouldn't be like a direct lifne iver. I don't think the story's true. I think it's silly if it is true. You know, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman got it right. On the other hand, and who cares what I think, here's another tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman with similar facts and an opposite conclusion. Here's Rav Shlomo Zalman, source number 12. It happens to be the same long tshuva, it's just a different part of it. Bahach inyana delifne iver. He said, this is what I told the people. This is a big, big issue in Israel, right? Russians who convert, people who have what's called Zera Yisrael, the father's Jewish, they have all the, you know, it makes complete sense to be Megayer them, but right? They stood in front of a Bezdin and they said, yes, I plan to keep Shabbos. I plan to make brachos. I plan to do all things I have to do. But they didn't. So you could say, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim, and whatever he said is what we go on. He says, Ein mitchashvim im machshevet pigul shebelibam. The Naasal Karcho Ger Gamur. Okay, he is a ger. Mi kalmakom laoto sugeirim asher kabalatam ol mitzvot krovala hechashev kidvarim shebelibo ubelev kaladam shelibam bal imam. They didn't mean what they said. Vehinenu kimat bituchim sheinam choshvim klal lekayem velishmor mitzvot. We're pretty convinced that they never meant it. Right, that's a harsh statement. Says Shlomo Zalman, you've now made, you know, last week when he drove on Shabbos, there was no Israel. He was a Gentile. Next week when he drives on Shabbos, that's your fault. That's Lifnei Iver. It's hard. It's the exact opposite of what I would have thought. You know, to me, it's slightly disappointing. But it's what Shlomo Zalman says. So on the one hand, you have. So Henry, how are you going to figure it out? I don't know. On the one hand, you have him saying that you can be over in Issud Rabbanon in the Shulchan Aruch and feed, you know, and give food to a guest who otherwise would be offended. But at the same time, when somebody's standing in front of you in a Beis Din and he's saying all the right things, but you know he doesn't mean it, that's Lifnei Iver because it's going to be over, you know, additional Yisurim.
So I'll tell you what I find in the presentation, the differential from here to all the way to the beginning. When it's a single Maisa eating, drinking, whatever, we see all the tshuvas saying that, okay, you know, this is a person's choice. It's better, the bigger picture, Ava, all the other things, you know, sitting next to someone in a plane, those are temporary things. When there's things that are forever, going with a grusha, a person mechal Shabbos for the rest of his life, there seems to be a differential in the halacha. I'm only observing, you know, what we were presented today, that there seems to be a tremendous chiluk along those lines.
It's certainly an interesting idea.
Henry, I think it seems to me that the differential is Adam Lamakam as opposed to Adam Lechavero. So if you don't give snacks to your guest, you're insulting your guest, and that's Adam Lechavero. We're driving on Shabbos, whatever, the bigger picture, if you want.
I love that.
It's a good question. I'll tell you what comes up all the time. You know, let's say you're an Efrat, and I say Efrat because anybody who's driving an Efrat on Shabbos is a Jew. Okay? And a guy stops and he asks you for directions. So on the one hand, if you give directions, he's going to drive there. He's going to drive on Shabbos. That's Lifnei Iver. On the other hand, he's already in his car. And if you refuse to give him directions, it's going to take him longer to get there. And he's going to be involved in more Isser Shabbos. That's a big issue that comes up. And like everything else, I don't know the answer. But that, I find that fascinating. Okay, let's just finish. Look at the Sefer Achinuch and you get the whole idea. 13. Show Hashem mitzvah yadua. What's the point?
By the way, before
let me finish, Henry. We're getting out of time. You'll ask me afterwards. Ki tikun ha'olam v'yishuvo. Right? The way you make a great world. Hu lehadrich b'nei Adam v'latet lahem b'chol ma'asehem etza tova. Forget all the technicalities. You need to be a good person. You need to be a good neighbor. You need to be a good friend. The idea that you would do something that might, let's face it, we don't have a lot of, you know, Yetzihara to tell somebody that Kentucky Fried Chicken is kosher. It just doesn't happen in our lives. But, you know, giving people good advice, I think that's why attached to this pasuk is the pasuk of Yohavta L'Recha Kamocha. I think these things all have to do with, you know, the aspiration to build a society and to build a world where you trust people. And if you go into a store and a person tells you something, you believe them. Now, what about all the other Isurim and they're not allowed to do this? You just want to deal with, you know, I know in my life, you want to deal with people who you trust. You'd pay more to deal with a person who you trust. That's what the halacha is after. When all is said and done, whether you can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, or you can't tell a Kohen that he can marry a Grusha, or you, whatever, at the end of the day, we have to be better people. And that's what the Torah is talking about. And I think that, you know, that's at the core of this halacha.
But Ellie, before we go,
we're out of time. Yashar Koach to everybody.
Wait, Ellie.
Fundamental questions in Lifnei Iver. What does the pasuk mean? Yes.
Ellie, before we go, can you share one or two personal stories of Rav Lichtenstein?
I'm not going to make everybody sit here. I'll tell you very quickly.
Anybody wants to go, but you had a very special personal relationship with him. And
we're done with the shir. I'll tell you two stories. One is a story that most people in Gush know, and one less so. When I was leaving yeshiva after my post college year, and I was trying to decide what to do with my life. And I decided to go to law school. And I knew that Rav Lichtenstein would not be happy with that decision. And the last day I went to say goodbye to him. And he's sitting and learning. And, you know, you have to wait on the side till he notices you. And I said, you know, I'm leaving tonight. Just wanted to thank Rav Lichtenstein so much for my time in yeshiva. And, you know, and he said, no, sit down. Like, all of a sudden he wants to battle. I'm like, no, I don't want to waste any of Rebbe's time. I just want, no, he says, sit down. So I sit down. And the following conversation takes place. He says to me, so, what are your plans? So like I could scam him, I say graduate school. So he says, oh, in what? So now I'm like, I'm starting to sweat. So I basically get out, you know, walk. And he says, why not chinuch? And so I told him what was the truth. I said, I don't think I'd be good at it. And he said to me, and I thought about this every day. He said to me, why is it that everybody thinks they'll be a crackerjack lawyer, but a poor mechanic? And like he was angry, you know? Okay, so eventually now I'm in chinuch now, so I fixed the whole thing. But that's one story. He cared very deeply about people going into chinuch, or these people he thought could go into chinuch, and he wasn't afraid to express that opinion. What was the other story I was about to tell you? I'll tell you a different one. I have 100 Rav Lichtenstein stories. Here's a good one. When I came back to yeshiva, I was more than 40 years old. And, you know, I like learning Ramban a lot, but I always skipped the Kabbalah parts. And so but now that I'm more than 40. So I wanted to ask him about that. So I sit down, I say, when I learn Ramban al Torah, whenever it gets to Al Derech HaEmes, Al Pi HaSod, I skip it. So before I could say anything, he says, oh, me too. He says, the Ramban says that his Kabbalah is not for people like us. And I remember in the moment thinking, what's people like us? Like, we both have two legs? You know, you're the Gadol Hador. He could talk like, you know, just an honest, a regular person in a way that in that moment, I think he thought of us as being the same. Like, obviously, we're not in any way the same. But he rose. Oh, here's the thing I was going to tell you. The last thing. He told this, I heard from his daughter. The yeshiva held an 80th birthday party for him. He was already sick by that point. And the yeshiva held like an 80th birthday party for him. And afterwards, he told his family, you know, I was surprised by how much people talked about like my character traits and less about like my shiurim and my actual, you know, learning. And so his daughter said to him, well, what did you work on more? And he said, you're right. I worked on my character traits more than I worked on my lamdus. And he told the story. He said, as a kid, like most of us, he said he was 9 years old and he was competitive and he lost a game of chess to his father. And he threw the chessboard out the window. And this is the difference between us and him. He said, as a 9 year old, I realized I have a problem with kaas and I need to work on it. He said, and I started to work on it. And I don't have that problem anymore. And he felt like, you know, if you work as hard as you can, not only can you become a Talmud Chacham, but you can become a better person. You know, that's something that all of us should keep in mind. All right.
Supposedly,
thanks very much.
Supposedly, Eli, he taught Kriya when Rav Shlomo Zalman was Nifter. That's the story. Because he was so close to him.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
Because he was so close to him.
I think he felt very, very close to Rav Shlomo Zalman. I've seen pictures of them talking, but you can't really tell from the picture. But I think, you know, I think the Rav told him, you should adopt Rav Shlomo Zalman. I think, again, in those days, you couldn't just call America. So I think otherwise he would have called the Rav. But I think the Rav said, you're going someplace and, you know, you're going to need somebody. You should, you know, the Rav also had huge respect for Rav Shlomo Zalman. And that's how it happened. He also had huge respect for Moshe Feinstein. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he needed somebody in Yerushalayim. I think it's unbelievable that Rav Aaron thought he needed someone. But, you know, I think for Rav Aaron, like, halacha was really, really complicated. This I heard him say. He said, you can't, you know, the greatness of Shlomo Zalman, he said, was that he wouldn't answer if he didn't know you. Like, the answer had to do with who you are. And Rav Aaron thought that about halacha also. There are a lot of situations in which I know a guy in yeshiva whose wife was pregnant, and the doctors told him, you know, there's a chance for all kinds of bad things. And he went to Rav Aaron. And he's in the kol in yeshiva, went to Rav Aaron. And Rav Aaron said to him, you should go ask Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, who was well known as being a makil in terms of abortion. And the guy said, are you sending me to the Tzitz Eliezer because you don't feel like... Anyway, the guy didn't go to Rav Eliezer Waldenberg. He didn't get an abortion, and his daughter is fine. Okay, I'm Maisa Nisim, whatever. Okay, all great stories. I can talk about Rav Aaron forever, but I'm going to keep Shabbos this week, and other people have things to do. So have a great, great week, and I'll see you next Friday, God willing.
Shkoch.